Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm Straight Flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We're rock and rolling all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
This dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
You're fired up there, Ryan. Usually you just play the sounder, and sometimes like you clap a little bit, but today you were doing the fist pump. You were trying to like really, I don't know what troops you're trying to rally, but it looked like you were rallying the troops a little bit. I guess you're happy to be back on a Monday, ready to go.
Let's go, yeah. Slept a lot this weekend, ready to go.
Oh, you recharged the batteries this weekend? That's what you did?
That's it.
Lazy
That's
weekend?
Right. Very lazy weekend. Did a whole lot of nothing.
Any performance-enhancing substance to make you go to sleep or just natural sleep?
No, if anything, stressful sleep. Watching Penn State basketball throw away their NCAA tournament hopes. So, if anything, it was not as restful as it should have been, but nonetheless, much needed sleep.
How did the Nittany Lions end up losing? How bad? Why? I didn't watch the game because it's Penn State basketball. It's irrelevant.
9 minutes and 2 seconds of the game. So that's how you blow a 19-point lead.
And who were they playing?
Rutgers.
Oh, I did see some of that, actually. Nice job there by Steve Peichels. Peichel, pound the nails, baby. Gotta love it. RU. Real basketball program in the Northeast. Not the Penn State Nittany Lions. Anyway, I don't usually like to come off of a weekend and take some shots, especially at colleagues. And I look around our studio right now, and I love both Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff. We had a great time at the Super Bowl. We've now done, what, 3 trips with them? 2 at the Super Bowl, and then we've also hung out at the draft back in Las Vegas. And I look around this studio, and they are on TV and YouTube and all that, so they have the studio decorated. None of these decorations are actually for us. And I see Perloff, this has been there, has a Ducks jersey with his last name on it, a Vikings jersey. Maggie has a Brooklyn Nets jersey, a New York Rangers jersey, a Mets jersey. She brought in a Fred Jackson jersey as well. And then there's some other autographs as well. I think that's a Jim Kelly football. There's a Maggie and Perloff sign, an Army Navy Radio Row sign as well, some Bengals and Rams stuff from the Super Bowl last year. But today, Hickey, I walk in fresh off the weekend in a good mood, walking into the studio, and I see some new decorations. Now, the T-shirt behind me, I don't have a problem with. It's a Philly thing, the Eagles black shirt. I think it's actually pretty nice. But then I look over my left shoulder, and I thought that this was very ironic because especially it's on the day he gets released from now his third team that is giving up on him. But there is a Sports Illustrated blow-up poster of Carson Wentz. So I got into the studio like 30 seconds before the start of the show. Usually I'm in there about like 4 or 5 minutes before the start of the show. So I had a conversation with Maggie in the newsroom. Didn't know any of this stuff was happening. I guess Perloff, he was so embarrassed by the Carson Wentz poster, he just got up and ran out of the studio once the show ended. But I didn't get to see this until we got on the air, like 30 seconds before we got on the air. So I didn't have a chance to ask him. So Stu was the only one still here from the very fine radio program of Maggie and Perloff, which I'll be a company guy. You could hear on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app, which is a wonderful application, if I might add. And on this Sports Illustrated poster, I said to Stu, I go, why do they have a Carson Wentz poster up? Or why did they add more swag to the studio? And Perloff's reasoning, which I could kind of respect the reasoning, was, oh, they wanted more Philly swag, or Perloff felt like they needed more Philadelphia representation in the studio. Now, I don't know about you, Hickey. The It's a Philly Thing shirt, fine, represents the Eagles, is wonderful. But if you're wanting more Philly representation in the studio, the last thing I would put up in a studio is this disgusting photo of Carson Wentz, especially now when he's become a joke in the NFL. And I actually think you are even probably more annoyed by it than me, because I've been consistent. After Carson Wentz left Philadelphia, I realized that he was a fraud. I realized what I thought he was years ago was the complete antithesis. And then I told you it was going to be a disaster in Indianapolis. You eventually saw what I was saying. And then we both kind of, the last year, shared a laugh at the expense of the Washington Commanders because we knew what the ending was going to be. But this has to be bad for you. And I just wonder where your mental well-being will be at. And I did you a favor. I took down the Carson Wentz poster and I moved it off to the side on the floor so you don't have to see it, because that has to be tough for you, you being a big-time Indianapolis Colts fan, and your team gave up all they did to go get Carson Wentz, to now have to look at, I guess you could say, the enemy or someone that has caused a lot of stress in your life. That would not be nice if I kept it over my left shoulder, directly staring right at you for the next 4 hours. So I'm looking out for you, Hickey. Some people may not think that, but I'm always looking out for you, even though it may not seem to be the case all the time with how many shots we take at you on the air and how much fun we have at you. But I don't get the Carson Wentz poster whatsoever if you're trying to incorporate more Philly swag in the studio.
Now, my guess is that Perloff was not the one who brought that in. I would say whether it's Maggie, Samter, Stu.
I think it has to be Perloff.
I don't think
that so. That seems like that's a collection that Perloff has. Like, he has all this Philly gear, and he probably wanted to get that out of the house. But that's a bad job bringing in a Carson Wentz kind of, I don't want to say tribute, but just swag into the studio.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt. I would be shocked if Andrew actually brought that in. I could see, again, anyone else on the show say, oh, you want more Philly swag? No problemo. Here's your Philly swag. Here is almost a life-size poster of what would look to be Carson Wentz from his rookie year, back when hopes were high, to have, you know, basically looking over your shoulder throughout the entire show. Perloff brought that in.
I'm going to text Perloff because I actually do think that Perloff would bring that in. I don't know why, but anything that Perloff does at this point, nothing surprises me. I think Perloff is like one of the more interesting people I have ever met. And I say that in like a nice way, but he always keeps me on my toes whenever we have conversations and we've gone out with him, you know, to events and stuff at the draft, at the Super Bowl. And I don't know. He does not operate at like the beat of everyone else's drum that you would think. He does just a lot of things that this would not surprise me if this would be his Carson Wentz gear.
That's like you saying, I want more Patriots stuff in the studio, so let me get a big poster of N'Keal Harry and put it, you know, over my shoulder.
I'm not arguing. I totally understand what you're saying, because I have a ton of friends in Philadelphia, right? Going to Temple, living there 3 years after college, all that stuff. They hate Carson Wentz. I could see Perloff, because the best way to say this, he goes against the grain a lot of times. He has a column. He had a whole segment on the DP show. He still does that here, CBS Sports Radio, as I was stumbling through my words and trying to describe Perloff. That's the best way to say it. He goes against the grain. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with Perloff where it's an obvious take and he takes the opposite take. Or if there's like an obscure player, like a really obscure player, and he's defending that person when everyone else is trashing him. So I could see him actually liking Carson Wentz and that this would be his poster here in the studio. But if that's the case, and I think if I talk to my friends at Philadelphia, they may want Perloff to give back his Eagles fan card, because you can't support Carson Wentz when he told you like he was great, he was awesome, he's a franchise quarterback, great teammate, all that stuff, and he was a pain in the ass in the locker room, was very sensitive. And I guess if you're a Philly fan, a little bit of the hate towards Carson Wentz does go away now because you have Jalen Hurts. The team was just in a Super Bowl, and Wentz's career, after he just got released today by the Washington Commanders, is on life support. So I guess Carson Wentz does not own as much real estate as he once did in Philadelphia fans' heads, but still, that does not mean that, I don't care how against the grain you are, that I'm bringing this poster, Hickey, in the studio.
And I'll put you on the spot here. You were in Philly 2 weeks in a row for playoff games. Off the top of your head, can you recall seeing anyone in a Wentz jersey?
No. And I can't crush someone if they wear a Wentz jersey, because jerseys aren't the cheapest thing in the world. And if that's the jersey you bought 4 or 5 years ago, and that's the only Eagles gear that you have, I understand wearing it. But I will tell you this. When I was in Philly, it's actually crazy because, like, we live here in New York. We've been to other parts of the country when there's a big game or a big event, and you don't always see people wearing the gear of their team, like, covered entirely all over the streets. When I was in Philly for the divisional round and then also the NFC title game, every single person and their dogs, right? The dogs were dressed up in jerseys too, had Philly gear. And I don't even think you need a jersey necessarily. It was like a lot of t-shirts too. But I would be embarrassed to wear a Carson Wentz jersey at this point if I was a Philly fan. I would donate that to charity. Or maybe do one of those jersey returns if they do that. Or if you need to wash your car or scrub the toilets, I would kind of use the Wentz Eagles jersey for that, Hickey, if I'm being honest.
And I would agree with you, yeah. If I was a Philly fan, and I'm sure there's a lot of Wentz jerseys bought over the last few years when he was still their quarterback and times are high and he almost won an MVP if he was healthy, I would bet a lot of 11 jerseys were all around Philly. But I'm with you. At this point, wear something else and use that jersey. Don't burn it. That's the only thing I will say. But otherwise, throw it out, donate it, scrub some toilets.
Well, your people instinct or your Perloff instincts weren't that good.
He brought that in himself.
I said, is this your Wentz poster or did someone bring that in to troll you? He goes, oh, shoot. I guess he thought I was mad that it's in the studio because there's some people around here that are very protective of the construction of the studio and what is left behind it. Not, I'm not one of those people. But he said, oh, shoot, it's mine. Sorry. It's kind of a bit is what he said. Now, I just wonder what the bit is.
I'm very curious.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that would explain
but
it
this
a
is
little bit.
If this is against the grain. Because say what you want. Perloff is a big-time Philadelphia sports fan. Grew up in the Lower Merion area. Big-time fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. I was at the NFC title game with him. And he's walking around Philadelphia. I thought he was the mayor. For a second, with how many people are high-fiving him, inviting him to his tailgates and all that stuff. It's a very good time that we had right before the NFC title game. And this guy's bringing in a Carson Wentz poster? I'm sorry. We gotta maybe have an intervention with Perloff. Where I'm now a little bit concerned if you're going to be supporting, or at least putting on the front that you are supporting Carson Wentz. Because that dude's a disaster.
You don't have to hate Wentz. And like you said, I think a lot of the hatred or maybe some of it goes away once you see the success of Jalen Hurts and you see the failure of Carson Wentz when he leaves. And things only got worse when he left Philly. So it's if you're an Eagles fan, I guess maybe you can let some of that hatred go compared to if you went to the Colts or the Commanders and started flourishing. But that said, if you want more Philly gear, like it's one thing to not hate Carson Wentz.
Yeah, we could hook. I don't think Perloff
it's
needs a connection.
Thing.
But we could get him some better Philly
right,
gear.
Like anything.
Like how about a photo of Joel Embiid? Right? Or a Jalen Hurts poster.
Behind your shoulder there. You have a tweet from Perloff about
Joel. Oh, I didn't even notice that.
NBA and TNT a few years ago.
You know what we should get him? We're going to get Perloff a gift. Or I'll get a gift and I'll just include you in it. So what we'll do is, did you see Jason Kelce got the entire offense aligned together? And they were singing songs? Did you see that?
Christmas songs, yes.
Yeah, it was Christmas songs. Yeah, correct. I was trying to remember what songs they were. I think we should get them a photo of all the offense alignment on the Philadelphia Eagles. And I forget, I don't remember how they were dressed, if they were even dressed at all, but maybe we'll get that for Perloff.
Well, I think they were dressed. I'm pretty sure they had clothes on.
But shirt off?
I think shirts were on. I don't think they were dressed up in like Santa hats and elf costumes. I think they're just dressed, I believe, normally, from what I can remember, but I'm pretty sure tarps were on.
Okay. Lane Johnson was wearing no sleeves. And they had okay. Christmas. They had some of them had Christmas sweaters on. So maybe we'll blow up a photo like that and get it for Perloff instead of this trash Carson Wentz
anything,
Sports Illustrated photo. Well, that's the other thing. Perloff and Nagy, they used to both work at Sports Illustrated. I think someone at Sports Illustrated, maybe they were working there at the time. I don't know. Maybe they sent them that as a little gift.
Do you see Perloff's name on the cover?
No, it's by
the only
Austin
thing
Murphy.
To maybe like okay, that's your story. Your name's on it. That'd be one thing. Otherwise, I'm with you. I mean, I'm sure they've written about Jalen Hurts at some point this year.
Top left of this, by the way, it says Boris Diaw. Subtle star, even for the Spurs.
That has to be like 2016.
It is. It's May of 2016. Holy Carson God. Wentz. The QB is out of Fargo. Into the Philly Fire. The bullseye.
The bullseye. Well, into the Philly Fire is accurate. That's for sure.
Here's why I really hate Wentz. Or dislike Wentz. I'll do the cheesy radio one. I don't really hate anybody. When you always know people are lying right through their teeth when they say that. It's the lack of accountability. And he tried to tell you he was someone, and his actions were the exact opposite. Because I was a big believer in Wentz that second year in Philadelphia, and then everything I thought to be true about Carson Wentz ended up just being completely false. And I kind of gave you that warning, Hickey, when the team traded for him, because I knew what he was all about, and I was seeing the same script play out once again in Indianapolis. And then I'll remember, if I actually cared that much, I remember tweets from Commanders fans. Remember the game that they lost up against the Lions, but he had a really good second half? They were like, oh, he's looking really great. Like, he's going to be unbelievable. And I was like, pump the brakes. And everyone thinks I have an agenda against Carson. Could be true. And they were like, you're going to be wrong about Carson. And I was like, all right, message me at the end of the season. Just let's see where we are at the end of the season when it comes to Carson Wentz. But here's the interesting part about this. I didn't think we'd spend the show the first 15 minutes talking about Carson Wentz. Wentz was released today. What's his next move? And I think the biggest problem for Carson Wentz is he will not be able to embrace being a backup. I don't think he has the ego, the mentality, or just the characteristics or the humble pie that it requires to be a backup quarterback. I think this dude believes he could still be a top 10 quarterback in the league, and that it was Indianapolis's fault or Philadelphia's fault or the Commanders' fault. And I do always question how good of a teammate Carson Wentz is as well, as you saw that play out and the sensitivity of it, especially in the Philadelphia locker room. So with all that being said, you would think that Wentz's next role is being a backup quarterback. But the problem with that is I don't know if he has what it takes to be a backup quarterback. And if I'm Carson Wentz, Hickey, I would retire. You signed a big contract that had $100-something million guaranteed. You got all the money in the world. You suffered a ton of injuries as well. You're not going to, you are delusional if you're Carson Wentz and you expect to be starting week one for an entire season for a team for this upcoming year. I really do believe that the best course of action for your best friend in Carson Wentz is to hang him up and retire and go hunt somewhere and do things that you love. You have all the money and spend time with your family, because you're not going to be a starting quarterback consistently in the NFL ever again. Like, you may get some spot starts. You may be a guy like here or there for a few weeks, but you will never be the guy as you reviewed in year two in Philadelphia ever again in the NFL.
I mean, I would agree, just because it's like when you look at, like, who's going to sign him, I guess, is that biggest question, right? Like, I don't
see how
anyone can actually sign this guy.
It wouldn't surprise me, Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins, if they sign him and they go, okay, Tua with all the concussions, if he gets hurt, we'll have Wentz as the backup. He'll have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I'm not sitting here saying that Carson Wentz could handle that role, but if I'm Wentz, I would be interested in a team like Miami, if you're thinking about this logically, where you go where either the starting quarterback is in question because of on-the-field play, or if there are health concerns, and maybe that's the easiest path, again, for you to get some starts in the NFL, and then in a short sample size, maybe try to change your career path around. This is all a long shot, but I would think Miami is the first team that I thought of today, that maybe the Dolphins would be interested, because McDaniel's just like an interesting cat. And it wouldn't be the worst decision on Carson's front if he's willing to embrace the backup role, which I highly doubt that he will.
I guess just from Miami's perspective, it's like, you're going to have one injury-riddled quarterback as your starter, then another injury-riddled quarterback as your backup. And again, I think the only person who'd be happy with that is, Skylar Thompson, because they're like, okay, I'll probably start another playoff game. And if that's the case, if you have Carson Wentz as a backup, because he's not going to stay healthy, it's just... But it's like, you look around, it's like, Frank Reich, no chance in hell he's going to go back down that road again for the second time and get burned. And it's like,
you say that. I think Frank, and you know this better than anyone, wanted to keep Carson for a second year in Indianapolis. And it was Jim Irsay who thankfully stepped in and said, no, 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 that ain't going to happen.
Oh, Jim Irsay was the main driver behind getting Carson Wentz out of town after 1 year. But it's like, the Panthers, we presume, are going to draft a quarterback there at number 9. Whether they sit there at 9 or they trade up, you can't have a rookie quarterback then sitting working with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, if you're expecting Carson Wentz to be a mentor, you're just a fool. Like an absolute fool.
And like you can't even expect him to play well. But you talk about all the time with the Commanders. Solid offensive core, right? Running backs, receivers, tight ends. Carson Wentz was terrible.
Well, hold on.
In when he played.
Taylor Ham Heineke actually turned that season around and helped turn that team around. The team really rallied around him. And when it started to go south just a little bit for the Commanders, they go back to Carson Wentz against the Browns. And he wasn't just bad. He was an absolute failure in the game. Like, even I wasn't even laughing at him during the game because part of me was like, oh, I kind of feel bad for him. This is now starting to turn out to be a sad story. I don't think anyone's laughed at the expense of Carson Wentz more than me in the last 3 years.
He was benched twice by what was his third team in 3 years. At what point are we just going to be sitting there saying it's over?
Well, let's not bury the lead, too. How dumb are the Commanders? Where they swapped twos and gave up two threes. One could have turned into a two. It didn't because Wentz wasn't healthy enough. How dumb were they when they could have maybe got Wentz for just like a fifth or a sixth last year, if that? The Colts are about
free.
To cut him.
I was just going to say, they were going to a point, they're going to cut him. So you could have him for free. So thank you, Washington.
Yeah, they rewarded you for your own incompetence.
Agreed.
That was the dumbest move of the NFL offseason last year. And it was one at the time where I just thought it was an Onion article. And it was a flat-out joke. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, is one team in the NFL about to make a mistake at the QB position and reward their quarterback with a possible extension? We'll tell you who that quarterback is and who the team is when the Zach Gelb Show continues in 5 minutes right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Nice job, Hickey. I think that could be my best take ever. Carson Wentz is released. Not even the script writers here at CBS Sports Radio, right? Because everything's a script these days. On the day that Carson Wentz gets released from the Commanders and a third team now says that he's donezo and basically he stinks and he's damaged goods, could write the script that this would be the day that Andrew Perloff brings in a Carson Wentz poster from 2016, which was a Sports Illustrated cover, and put it in the studio, Hickey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That happened after their show started. Wow, I didn't even think about that. Jeez, that truly is.
Oh, that's right.
Like, he brought it in today without any sort of thought that today would be the day Carson Wentz was cut. And you texted me about, it was about 3:30-ish, so half hour into their show. That must have been a funny breaking news. Oh, look over your shoulder, Perloff. On this specific day, that man over your shoulder, Carson Wentz, at that time in an Eagles jersey, is cut by the third team in 3 years.
And think about this, too. We used to debate, like, who would be the best quarterback? Would it be Dak or Carson Wentz? And for a while, it looked like it was going to be Carson Wentz. And now, clearly, Dak, even though he has his flaws, is a much better quarterback than Carson Wentz. But how about Jared Goff, who was the first pick in that draft, Hickey? And Jared Goff, his career looked like, even though he got to a Super Bowl, his career looked like it was basically over when he got traded to the Lions. That was basically what I thought was two trades in one. And now we're having legitimate conversations about Jared Goff being the potential franchise quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Now, let me be clear. I don't think he's the franchise quarterback for the Lions. But the fact that there is 2 years, I believe, left on that contract and we're able to have the discussion on the Lions not taking a quarterback in the draft this year, where even though they had a good year because of the trade, they still have a top 10 pick because of how bad the Rams were. It's kind of crazy to me that the narrative on Jared Goff has changed. Dak Prescott, I think the jury is still out where it's, okay, how great can he be? Will he ever be great or is he just good? And then you look at Carson Wentz, that script is already finished. Like, there is not going to be any resurrection for Carson Wentz's career, and he's absolutely donezo as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and it just comes down to now if he's going to be able to embrace that backup role, which everything I know about Carson Wentz, which is just that he would not be able to embrace that backup quarterback. But it's fascinating to me how we've done now a 180 on Goff. Wentz went from being a potential MVP of the league, then unfortunately tears up his leg. Eagles go on to win the Super Bowl, as you know. And now, Wentz's career is in the tubes pretty much because of the failures in Indianapolis, the failure this past year with the Commanders, and then Dak Prescott, we're still trying to figure out. We know he's good, but just can he be great? It is a little bit crazy, Hickey, when you go through that and just see the way that those three careers have pretty much panned out, where Goff is still a question mark, but at least you're inclined to see or intrigued to see how much further he could take the Lions and what he could do this upcoming year and if there will be some consistency there.
It is funny how it kind of yo-yoed, that is for sure, with those guys, where it's gone back and forth. Of Carson Wentz is the guy where he's on his way to his MVP before he gets hurt. Dak in his first year as a rookie, you know, had probably the best year so far the Cowboys have had. And Jared Goff, it's like funny, right? Gets off to a slow start, goes to the Super Bowl, but it's still questions. And now you can make the argument out of the three, he's probably number one there. So it's
now I know he went. Roller coaster. I know he went to your team and you were drinking the Kool-Aid, even though you didn't want him to start, but then you started to drink the Kool-Aid. Because I get it, right? Your team trades for someone, you have nothing to do but root for your team. So if I would have told you, though, that after Goff got traded to the Lions and Wentz got traded to the Colts, that Jared Goff would go on to have the most success out of the two, you would have, like, I don't even know if I would have believed that because I was down on Jared Goff, and I just thought it was a matter of time before he would have got cut by the Lions.
Right. He's even just like a placeholder. All right, there for a year or two, just a throw-in in order to get an extra first-round pick from the Rams. And now, like you said, now there's a chance the Rams could think he's like their long-term guy.
So by the way, we'll get to this ESPN article in just a second. But earlier today, ESPN on Get Up, they played our Joe Klecko audio. And when they were crediting it, they said, per CBS Sports. And they eventually put up a graphic that said, CBS Sports Radio, Zach Gelb Show. So when I'm reading this ESPN article here, should we just like half-ass it and say it's like credited to ES or not even mention the person that
ESP
that wrote the article or something like that? Who is it? Todd Archer, I believe, is their Cowboys reporter there for ESPN? So I will credit people correctly. This is from Todd Archer at ESPN because I believe in doing the right thing. But anyway, he had an article out today where I guess he did talk to Stephen Jones. And Stephen Jones said to him as we're getting ready for the combine, I've got all the faith in the world we can win this thing with Dak, Jones said from the scouting combine in Indianapolis. Archer then asked why. Because we know him. We know what he's about. His leadership skills are undeniable. Impeccable work ethic, Jones said. Other than he hadn't won some key playoff games, he's everything you want in a quarterback. From the day he walked in the door, he's won a lot of games. We just got to get over the hump. And he went on to say, Stephen Jones, we got to have a plan. We got to have a plan to ultimately extend Dak. So I don't know about you, Hickey. If I basically said, you know, Ryan Hickey's everything you want in a producer. He's got a great work ethic. He shows up on time. He gives it his all. But then when we get on the air, in the key spots, he's not good. Like, that's not a ringing endorsement to you. And it's trying to put lipstick on a pig. You know, I get it. Dak Prescott is a good quarterback in this league. He's in that conversation of being a top 10 guy, like in the 9 or 10 category, anywhere from like 9 to about like 12 in the league. Like 13 in the league is Dak Prescott. But I wouldn't look at Dak as an elite quarterback in this league. But to basically say, you know, we love everything about him, other than he hasn't won some key playoff games, like, that's a big part of it. That's a huge part of it, that he's not been able to win the key playoff games. And you saw the same thing last year and then this year. Big spot in the wild card round, loses to the 49ers when Jimmy Garoppolo was trying to hand him the game and couldn't get the ball snapped. And then this year, that their defense did everything that they could, Ryan, and he made big mistakes. So it's like, what progress have we seen from last year to this year? In the regular season, he regressed, and okay, he won a playoff game against a below 500 team. So I'm not all that convinced that Dak definitely could win the big game, and I don't think the Cowboys are winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. I don't even know if they'll be in an NFC title game anytime soon. And this was a team that the last 2 years, they've been really, really, really good in the regular season, but then come playoff time, it's ended, and not only ended, it's ended really ugly.
You know what it sounds like? The Jones family, Jerry and Steven, are afraid of the unknown. They are afraid of the alternative if they move off of Dak Prescott. And you're right, he's probably 9 or 10, so that means more quarterbacks than not are worse than him. I'm with you. I don't think he can win a Super Bowl. if you are trying to get a Super Bowl, you need a different quarterback. I think they are deathly afraid of, if we move off of Dak, who are we going to get that's better? And I don't think they trust themselves to find someone new. So they'd rather stay with what they know and just hope one year that, it works out or he plays well, compared to making a move that, you know, whether it's in the draft or it's trading for someone, whether it's signing someone for agency, that could maybe, at least on paper, put them over the top.
Like, if I'm them, and I know that there are concerns about the health of Lamar Jackson and if Lamar could win a big playoff game, but Lamar has shown you he could be an elite quarterback in this league when he was the second quarterback to ever win a unanimous MVP. If you have health concerns with Dak and questions about Dak in a big game, and if this thing is going south with the Ravens, if I'm the Cowboys, I'd be on the phone saying to the Ravens, hey, you got a good quarterback, we'll take Lamar and we'll figure out whatever else compensation is required to get him. I think you'd improve the quarterback position in a similar scenario, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, Lamar has his own pitfalls, but yeah, he's way more talented. He's way more dynamic. So he absolutely gives you a better chance right now than what you got, for sure.
And also, if they extend, like if they're all in on Dak like they say they are, and there's one thing to say, there's another thing to show it. It does then make sense to extend in this offseason, because then the price only goes up and up and up for here per year. But if I'm running the Cowboys, and I'm not Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones, if that was the case, I wouldn't be doing this radio show. Actually, you never know, because Jerry Jones has 9,000 interviews anyway in the NFL season with their guys, Sean and RJ. So maybe he does want to become a radio host. But if I'm Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, with 2 years left in that contract, I'm not doing anything this offseason. If Dak's as good as what you think he is and is deserving of that contract extension, go show me that something's different next year. Because Dak did regress this year. I know he got hurt again, but he did regress when he got back from that injury and there was too many interceptions. You want to tell me you change coordinators or Kellen Moore's now out and McCarthy's going to call the plays and that's going to be a big difference? It's all wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. I would not commit another 4 or 5 years to this guy anytime like this offseason without knowing what's going to happen next year. I got to see it from Dak. And then if it doesn't work after this year, then maybe you do start to move on. But I think you're right. The Cowboys aren't going to do that. Because I think a big misconception about Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, even though we all think they're impatient, they were very patient with Jason Garrett. They're going to continue to be patient with Mike McCarthy. And they're also going to continue to be patient with Dak Prescott. And it's the biggest, it's the toughest part right now in the NFL. When you have a good quarterback, you pay the good quarterback, great quarterback money. And then when he's not great, everyone's like, oh, he's got to be great and all that. But then if you move on from Dak, who's the guy that you could bring in that will be better? It's easier said than done. And that's why with the Lamar thing, it may take two to tangle here. Could make sense for the Ravens and the Cowboys to get a deal done. Anyway, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, could there be a potential big reunion coming to the Big Apple? Talk about that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. I was reading Albert Breer today, and he said, as for the Jets, it seems clear that Rodgers, under the right circumstances, would be their first choice, but this isn't an Aaron or bust situation. They're exploring everything from Rodgers and Carr to Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo to even the idea of bringing, wait for it, Geno Smith back, or luring Daniel Jones from across town. So when you go through this, I wonder, Hickey, as there's many layers to unpack here, but let's start with the Rodgers part. Under the right circumstances, what could that mean? Like, do they have to hear from Rodgers that he's all in and he's going to show up to all the voluntary stuff this offseason, even though he doesn't have to? Because it's voluntary, but if you're trying to build chemistry with a new team and you have a window of 2 to 3 years to get it done, you don't want year one to get off to a shaky start or a rusty start early on because there's not chemistry with the wide receivers. Or do you think that's more draft pick compensation?
I would say just as long as he's willing to go to New York and to the Jets specifically. If you're the Jets, I don't think they care if he's all in. I don't think they care about the draft capital. If Aaron Rodgers says, contract. Yeah, I'll play for the Jets, I'm in. Or they're in.
So you just think that's what they need to hear from him?
Yes.
And he basically has all the power here.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he doesn't want to go to a team, he'll then say, oh, I'll retire.
Right.
So he has all the power to get that done. Do you think he wouldn't want to play in New York?
No, I think he would.
So do I. Rodgers is at a point where it's clear he doesn't give a bleep what anyone else thinks. And if you do care what people think, New York could be very tricky. And I do believe that Rodgers enjoys like trolling all the media coverage and everything. So I actually think he would look forward to potentially interacting and dealing with the New York media and just how much sassiness, I guess, he would be able to display.
Like, would he get, I don't think he would get attention. Like, he would get more attention anywhere else he goes. Like, if he, like, is the Jets the place where he would get by far the most attention of any team he would play for next year?
Under realistic scenarios?
Yes.
I would say the Jets would be one.
Like, them or the Raiders? Like,
probably the Raiders, yeah, too.
But would the Raiders, in your mind, overtake? Like, if it's...
I know it's Las Vegas, but it's not the same media coverage. But also now, I do think that's a little bit overrated because now there's just so much access everywhere where, like, you could just hop on a Zoom and there's, like, 100 reporters, right, waiting for you. It's not like you actually have to go to the city anymore, but New York's still, like, the media capital of the world. So I would say that the Jets would probably hype it up the most because most people would go, if it does fail, I feel like it would only fail to the extreme in New York, if you get what I'm saying, with all the coverage that comes with the failure.
And plus, to start off, he'd be viewed as a savior, best quarterback, talent-wise, the Jets have ever had. So it's like the expectations would be high. You build him up, and then what do we do love to do in society when you build a guy up? Knock him down.
I got one place for you that would get crazier, but it would never happen.
Crazier. Okay, never happen, but it would be crazier media attention than the Jets. Let's hear
Dallas.
It. Oh, okay.
If fair. He somehow got yes. traded to Dallas, I don't know how that would work because the Packers are going to Jordan Love. If, let's just say, the Cowboys go against what we just told you 15 minutes ago, we're done with Dak, we want to go win now, we think we have a team that's ready to go, and they trade Dak to somewhere else, and then you put Rodgers with the Cowboys, especially, I remember when we talked about this a few years ago, there was a lot of Cowboys fans that were like, Rodgers has ripped our hearts out too many times, we wouldn't want him, we wouldn't want him in Dallas, and then all those cockroach Cowboys fans would all of a sudden say, yes, we love Aaron Rodgers, we'll genuflect Aaron Rodgers, but I remember a few years ago we were talking about this, Hickey, that there were some people, Cowboys fans that called in and were like, absolutely not, I would not want Aaron Rodgers, that's below us.
Yeah, like you said, now he comes calling, they are buying number 12 jerseys, that's for sure.
So that part is compelling. Then they're exploring everything we know the Rodgers and Carr part. But then Ryan, I know that they have staff members that they just brought in that have connections to Tennessee. But Ryan Tannehill? The Ryan Tannehill thing is fascinating to me. Because everyone just assumes that the Titans are going to move on, but he's still under contract with them. So when is that going to happen?
I mean, I guess you're the Titans. You're going to hold out hope of trading him, so it's like you're going to cut him.
What are you getting back for Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, something. 4 or 5?
I'd call it the Commanders. How dumb are you going to be for a second offseason in a row? He's got 1 year left on the contract.
Fifth-round pick?
And Ryan Tannehill's solid, but he's not a guy that you win a Super Bowl with.
You could say, hey, look, the season went in the toilet when he got hurt. You know, if you're trying to puff him up a little bit to get, you know, maybe a 4 back, a conditional 4.
Wow, you really turned Titans into a good used car salesman right there.
I'm just trying to help out the Titans here.
That's good creativity by you. I didn't know you had that in you, Hickey. Jimmy Garoppolo also does make sense. Can we all admit we think it's either going to be Rodgers, Carr, or Garoppolo? They just have to get one of those guys. If they don't get Rodgers and you pivot right to Carr and maybe overpay for Carr, but if you don't get Carr, Jimmy G is available.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
Salah.
Solid. No Salah. He's definitely also on the pecking order. I think he knows where he is.
But also, from an entertainment standpoint, and just for the sake of what we do, Geno Smith reunion or Daniel... Imagine if Daniel Jones doesn't get tagged, which you have until March 7th to franchise tag, and I guess the Giants are deciding, is it Jones or is it Barkley? And they'll eventually make that call and see if they get a deal done with one of the other guys before then, or maybe both. But imagine if Jones hits the open market and the Jets like, all right, we're going to pluck Daniel Jones. Yeah, keep your house. Stay where you are. You'll just come over to the Jets. Got better weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I know they have Saquon, but who knows if he's going to be back. I'm talking about receivers. You got Garrett Wilson, the offensive rookie of the year. That would be... I know Leonard Williams got traded, right, from, to the Giants from the Jets. But imagine if the quarterback, Daniel Jones, goes from the Giants to the Jets. That would be one of the more don't want to say heel-like moves, but crazier moves that I've ever seen for a guy that we still don't know how great he could be. He had a good year this year, but you want to see how, what the ceiling is on that standpoint. But the Geno Smith part, like, got punched in the mouth. Didn't even know what time zone they were in. And I know he had a great year. I'm skeptical about the consistency of that. If you're Geno Smith, I think you got to know the environment in Seattle was really good for you. You got to do whatever it takes to get a deal done with the Seattle Seahawks. But talk about media having a field day, Hickey. If he wound up back with the Jets, that would be maybe the most improbable thing I've ever seen.
And if you're Geno, realistically, the Jets have to be probably last on your list. Just because of the history, and like I said,
but just because everything else comes up with your past.
And it's like the expectations arguably could be even higher because, oh, look, he took him to the playoffs. That just seems like a no-win situation for Geno.
I don't think anyone that's a Jet fan, even with how good of a year Geno Smith just had, if he signed with the Jets offseason, like, oh, the Savior's coming. A lot of those guys, I don't think you think that you would say that the Savior's coming. And I don't think Carr is going to work out great in New York. I don't think Jimmy G would work out great. Like, Rodgers, okay, I'd be intrigued. That would be a Savior type. But Geno Smith or Daniel Jones, whew, sign me up for that. That would be funny.